Are you ready to create a life of balance, abundance, and joy? To live from a place of right intention and right alignment in all that you do? Then tune in right now to Living on Purpose with your host, Carolyn Romano. Living on Purpose is about standing in the center of your life so that no matter what's happening around you, you can respond from a place of peace and strength. Living on Purpose is about being deliberately aligned with the ways you're meant to serve and grow while staying open to experiencing life fully. Living on Purpose is a time for us to come together to remember our divine selves while we learn and wonder about, weigh and consider, and unpack and repack the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life.
Welcome to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano. I'm Carolyn Romano, your host, and I'm delighted to be here with you tonight. You are listening to a Dream Vision 7 Radio Network live broadcast at AM 1510 NBC Sports Radio Boston. To learn more and for a full station schedule that includes our affiliate showtime, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Listeners, our topic tonight is drum medicine, hearing your heart's desire. Just a little housekeeping before we get into our topic. This show is also aired on dreamvision7radio.com at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday and Tuesday, as well as on other affiliates. Past shows are downloadable at the Dream Vision 7 archive and on iTunes. I invite you to please like my Facebook page, Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano. You can also contact me by emailing Carolyn at blisshealingarts.com. Or via my website, blisshealingarts.com. The Dream Vision 7 Network has over 1 million listeners in more than 125 countries. We have new hosts joining all the time, lots of great shows, so I encourage you to please check them out. In fact, following this show, we have a new show starting with Dr. Nikki Elliott. It is called Nurturing Intuitive Children, and that just sounds like a fascinating topic to explore. So that's coming up right after tonight's show. In our last show, which was called Shaman's Death, we unpacked the idea of a shaman's death, which is giving up everything that you ever thought you wanted and needed in your life, giving all of that up to have the life that is waiting for you. Even when in a million years you could never imagine that surrendering the life that you're currently living could ever possibly lead to something magical happening. And it really speaks to this idea of a personal evolution through a letting go process where we're really asked to confront our fear-based or ego-based selves. So I encourage you to check that out. It should be up in the archive soon. But tonight we are talking about drum medicine, and in the Native American Sacred Path cards, some of the qualities of drum medicine are that it signifies Earth Mother's heartbeat. It's that idea of being in sync with life. We had a show about that very idea. It's also about feeling the beat or finding your rhythms, using proper timing or cycles, that kind of thing. Now, the challenge of drum medicine, the other side of that would be sort of struggling with listening and feeling and trusting the body's rhythms, being in the here and now, making time for what is really important, and then this idea of really hearing your heart's desire. So that's what I wanted to focus on tonight, really being able to look at the ways that we may be out of step with our body's rhythms or the ways in which our heart and mind and spirit are out of sync. And it's interesting, Jamie Sam says, quote, to fully use your gifts for the greater good, you must first listen to the beat of your own heart. The key to finding your place in creation and joyfully completing these tasks is in learning to feel what is right for you. So I really love that idea of finding your place in creation, that the way to do that is to really listen, that idea of going within that I talk about on so many shows, to feel the beat of your own heart, to what you're being called to do, what you're being called on to do, and that from that place, that source, you can identify what gifts you have and what gifts you're responsible for bringing out and into the world for the greater good. I love the way that's all intertwined and connected. The other thing that's important to know is that process of identifying your heart's desire, it's something that has to be felt and experienced. It's not going to come from the intellect. You can't think this rhythm of your heart. It has to really be something that you feel. Okay, so sometimes that calls for making some big changes in our lives, not unlike the shaman's death idea that we talked about in the last show. So how do we do that is something we'll look at tonight as our show unfolds. A great piece of source material that is going to help us with this topic is a book called The Heart Math Solution, Heart Math Solution by Doc Childrey and Howard Martin. They're from the Heart Math Institute, and this is a book about the intelligence of the heart, and there's just some amazing data about your heart as an organ, but also about how your brain and your heart actually talk to each other. So, one of the things that it says in this book is that, quote, we've all been told at one time or another to follow our heart, and it sounds like a great idea in principle. But the problem is that actually following our heart is much easier said than done. Where do we begin? People talk about following their heart, but nobody shows us how to do it. What does following the heart really mean? And so, you know, our heart, the book will point out, and as we know, it's not just an organ. There's all this scientific evidence now that shows that the heart sends us emotional and intuitive signals that help us govern our lives. It's not just an organ that pumps blood. It directs and aligns many systems in the body so that they can function in harmony with one another. And although the heart is in constant communication with the brain, we now know that it makes many of its own decisions. Now, we never would have thought that, or I never used to think that your heart is making decisions. In fact, your heart actually can override messages from the brain. Would you have thought that? I know I didn't. So because of this new evidence that we have about the heart and its role and maybe even place in the scheme of things, we really need to rethink our entire attitude toward this idea of, you know, following our heart and hearing our heart's desire. So it's not just this, you know, therapy or merely emotional notion. So there really is quite a bit of power in this idea of heart intelligence. You know, it's this direct intuitive knowing that manifests in thoughts and emotions that are beneficial to ourselves and others. That's how heart intelligence is defined. And so this idea of heart math that the Heart Math Institute promotes, it refers to the nuts and bolts approach to systematically unfolding these heart qualities so that they can support the unfoldment of your life and the ways that you're meant to serve. And many of us know that quote by Saint-Exupéry, it is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. And so many of us get caught up in that intellect. You know, we're just sort of above the neck processors, and we don't really ground ourselves and get in touch with, you know, the rich information that's available through our heart centers, through our gut, that, you know, through that intuitive side where so much information and power resides. But let's think about the heart for a second as just a physical organ, you know, that muscle that pumps blood. And truly, the heart is amazing. Some great data that the Heart Math Solution book shares with us is that, you know, the heart works without interruption. Now, we know this, but let's think about that. For as long as we're alive, 70, 80, 90 years, the heart is working without interruption, without care or cleaning, in most cases, without repair or replacement, in most cases. And there are some incredible statistics surrounding the heart. It beats 100,000 times a day, approximately 40 million times a year, 40 million times a year, pumps 2 gallons of blood per minute, well over 100 gallons per hour. That's a lot of blood moving through our system. And it does all this through a vascular system, check this out, that's about 60,000 miles in length, which is over 2 times the circumference of the Earth. Did you have any idea that this is what your heart was up to? Now, we also know that the heart starts beating in an unborn fetus before the brain has been formed. That's interesting and relevant to this whole topic, I think. And that indicates that the heartbeat is self-initiated from within the heart, right? It has some kind of intelligence that is independent of the brain. We often think about how the timing of the heartbeat is controlled by the brain, but this wonderful book, The Heart Math Solution, also points out that the heart doesn't need a hardwired connection to the brain to keep beating. So when someone has a heart transplant, the nerves that typically run from the brain to the heart are severed, and surgeons don't yet know how to reconnect them when they do the transplant, but that doesn't stop the heart from functioning. That is incredibly powerful when you think about the implications of that. Scientists have also discovered that there's a brain in the heart. So the heart has its own independent nervous system that's referred to as this brain in the heart, and that it has at least 40,000 neurons that helps to create this two-way communication center between the heart and the brain. It's not the brain saying, oh, heart, do this, please. It's this, you know, back and forth that goes on between the heart and the brain. Very powerful stuff when we're thinking about how key it is to be able to bring your gifts out into the world by hearing your heart's desire, by tuning into that brain in the heart, to that heart intelligence. And so I am going to offer to you some different techniques in this first segment that come from the Heart Math Solution that offer a way to tap into this deeper source of intuition and power that comes from the heart as a way to help you manage the mind, which can often get us in trouble as we interpret the events of our lives. So this first technique is called freeze frame. Now, we know what a freeze frame is when you think about a film and that you might freeze it to take a closer look at a single frame. Well, this technique takes that metaphor that, you know, our lives are like a movie that we're creating or experiencing sort of one frame at a time, one instant at a time, and that we're somehow responding to each of these frames. Sometimes we respond positively, and sometimes we respond negatively. Sometimes we respond neutrally, but that is not always the case. And then each of those responses leads into the next frame, right? These things sometimes build on each other. So this freeze frame technique that I really would love for you to learn and internalize gives you the power to stop your reaction to that movie of your life at any moment, okay? So you can call a timeout to, quote, gain a clearer perspective on what's happening in a single frame. By helping you align your head and your heart, it gives you quick and efficient access to heart intelligence. So this is a 5-step technique. So the first step is that you will recognize a stressful feeling and freeze frame it. Okay, so you think, ooh, I'm experiencing stress. Let me freeze that. You take this little timeout. The next thing that you want to do is make an effort to shift your focus away from your, you know, racing mind or, you know, disturbed emotions to the area around your heart. So shift from maybe your head processing something, you know, coming at it from the intellect, to your heart center. And then what you want to do is pretend that you're breathing through your heart. That's a way to help focus the energy in that area. Now, sometimes I'll say to people, pretend that you have a little nose on your heart, and that little nose is going to breathe in and breathe out. Okay, so that's a way to focus the energy in your heart center. Just even as I'm talking about this, I'm feeling myself calm way down. It's a very effective technique. And so you want to be, you know, breathing out of, in and out of that little nose on your heart for, you know, a good 10 seconds or more in this freeze frame technique. Okay, so that was step two. Step one, recognize the stressful feeling and freeze frame it. Then step two, shift your focus from, you know, all that upset into your heart area. Stick a little nose on there and breathe for 10 seconds or more. Okay, then step three. While you're doing that, breathing in from that little nose on your heart, you want to recall a positive, fun feeling or time that you've had in life, okay? So recalling that and trying to re-experience it, really trying to connect in with those positive, fun, uplifting, maybe inspirational, loving, caring, joyful emotions that you had because of that time. So you're in that space, you're breathing through your heart center, you're recalling a positive, fun feeling. Now what you want to do is ask your heart a question, okay? And you want to come at it from this space of, you know, intuition plus common sense plus sincerity. You know, you're really engaging with this process. And you ask your heart, what would be a more efficient response to the situation? A response that would minimize further stress or stress in the future, okay? So get into that space, ask your heart, what would be a more efficient response? One that would minimize future stress. And then what I always say bears out in this technique in step five, you want to listen to what your heart says in answer to your questions. And you will get a response. You just have to kind of slow it all down and wait for that answer to rise up out of your heart center. Maybe what you need to do is under that nose, put a little mouth and see what the mouth says to you. And so this is really a technique that provides a very powerful doorway to this intuitive intelligence of the heart and builds a real reliable bridge between the heart and the head. And what we know now, because it's been measured, is that when you can get into this state, you achieve what they call entrainment or heart coherence. You know, your heart variability, which is, or, you know, your HRV, heart rate variability, excuse me, sometimes, you know, it's that like erratic, jaggedy line. And when your heart rate is measured, well, doing these processes where you're breathing from that heart center or doing some other things that we'll talk about in a moment, you can really sort of smooth out that that jaggedy line and get into what they're calling, what they call heart coherence. Pretty powerful. Okay, the other thing I want to mention is about this electromagnetic field that we have around the heart. And I was going to wait till later in the show to bring it up, but if you were even to Google that, you would see this, this really powerful image of, you know, a person's outline, and the electromagnetic field that emanates from the heart spins up and out above you and below you in what they call a torus, T-O-R-U-S. Now, if you were also to look at the electromagnetic field of the sun, it's that same torus pattern. And I think as well the Earth has that same shape of an electromagnetic field. And I do not think that's an accident. And I think that's something that from a metaphysical standpoint really deserves our attention and pondering. Okay, but we're talking about our hearts and that freeze frame technique, the five steps. Really pretty simple, and it would be great for you to play with it, explore it, see, and, you know, the next time you're stressed out, do that freeze frame and breathe through that little nose on your heart. Now, there are also several heart power tools that the Heart Math Institute promotes that help you to get into longer and longer periods of heart coherence and entrainment. Simple things that I wanted to relay to you tonight. You can actually get powerful entrainment in, you know, your heart system by just cultivating a feeling of appreciation. Thinking about the things that you appreciate in your life, holding that energy of appreciation, letting that kind of permeate your system, your field. And what the book says is that that appreciation, that generating that feeling, eats the stress response for breakfast. I love that idea. We talk about the stress response all the time on this show. And just generating a feeling of appreciation eats the stress response for breakfast. So, appreciation. That's not too hard, right? We can always come up with something that we appreciate or feel grateful for. The next heart power tool is non-judgment. How can we get into a space of non-judgment, neutrality, non-reactivity to the things that are going on around us? That helps us to maintain that entrainment or heart coherence. It's also a way that we can express flexibility, right? If we're non-judgmental, as we observe the things that are going on around us or within us, and we're not sort of reacting in some kind of rigid way, we're able to sort of be more flexible and bending about the things that are going on around or within us. So that's the second heart power tool that Heart Math Solution identifies. And finally, the third one is forgiveness. I know a lot of people talk a lot about forgiveness, what they say most of all is that forgiveness is really for you and not the other person, because when you're in this space of anger towards someone or inability to forgive, you really get caught up in this toxic load of emotions that really doesn't do your system any good. It can really be this drain on you that is unbelievably debilitating. And that forgiveness can really be the hardest area for us to move through. There's a couple of things that I still really am holding on to that I'm trying very hard to release so that I can move on in other areas of my life. So appreciation, non-judgment, forgiveness. These three things allow us to access our own heart's power and promote coherence. And so with that, I will let Sean take us to break, and I will talk to you in a few.
Since 2004, Old Dog Haven in Washington State has been providing loving, safe homes for senior dogs ages 8 and up who've been abandoned or are homeless at this time in their lives. Wonderful foster families take these old dogs into their homes, making their golden years happy years. For more information or to make a tax-deductible contribution, visit olddoghaven.org. Old Dog Haven, providing hope, love, and comfort for senior dogs.
If you're feeling the effects of chronic stress, chronic fatigue, or chronic illness in your life, it may be time to learn more about the key role that mind-body medicine can play in restoring and maintaining your health. Through individual or group sessions with Carolyn Romano of Bliss Healing Arts in Massachusetts, you can experience energy medicine, mind-body skill building, and self-care planning designed to enhance health and wellness. Mind-body medicine includes techniques such as Reiki, meditation, breathing practices, guided imagery, and mindfulness, which research increasingly shows support the body's natural ability to heal itself and restore balance. To get started, call Carolyn at 508-481-BLIS. That's 508-481-2547. Or visit blisshealingarts.com and get your bliss on.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at AM 1510 NBC Sports Radio Boston. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about drum medicine, hearing your heart's desire. And in the first segment of our show, I was sharing some pretty powerful information from the HeartMath Institute about heart intelligence. as well as the techniques that they share, the heart power tools of appreciation, non-judgment, and forgiveness, as well as this great technique called freeze frame for a way to be able to kind of access your heart intelligence and build a bridge between your brain and your heart that allows you to sort of maximize the power and gifts of both. And in this segment, I wanted to talk a little bit more about this idea of hearing your heart's desire and going within and getting into a place of surrender. And in this segment, I wanted to rely on the teachings of one of my favorite writers, Oriah Mountain Dreamer. She's written a number of just amazing books, and tonight I think what I'm pulling from are just two, one called The Dance and the other called The Call, Discovering Why You Are Here. And in The Call, the chapter that I kind of focused on for tonight's show, Oriah was talking about this vision quest experience that she was planning. I think she had intended to be out on the land for like 40 days by herself, which is a pretty extreme, real hardcore kind of vision quest. And it really did not go well at all for a variety of reasons. And the message that she kept getting was that she needed to go home. And she was really resisting that message because she felt like she needed to really be in the struggle of it. I mean, part of a vision quest is like confronting the challenge of being, you know, out on the land by yourself with limited resources and, you know, all of your fears packed up right along with you. So she was very much struggling, but definitely got a strong message from her guide to go home. Go home, go home. Oriah, you need to go home. And what she realized was that she was fighting the reality of her situation. And I find that to be a really important thing for us to think about. What are the ways in which we might be fighting the reality of our situation? Not to say that, you know, we can't create amazing things in our lives, but sometimes we have to really look at what is in front of us, right? You know, what circumstances are we in? And so what she writes, I have a number of quotes, so bear with me. It's just amazing stuff from her. So what she writes is, quote, "This is a story about surrendering from a woman who has found surrender impossible. I thought that to heed the call, to know and embody the meaning of my life, I had to learn to do it differently. But what I had to learn, what I am still learning, was to stop doing altogether. I had to learn not doing. Not doing is about letting any movement flow from an awareness of the deep and ever-present stillness that is what I am at the most essential level of being." Now, to me, that speaks of, you know, your heart, right? Letting things flow from that deep and ever-present stillness. You know, if you can get in that space, then, you know, you're going to be able to hear your heart beating. And what is that heartbeat? Where is it coming from? And how is that creating the awareness of what your essential nature is? And through that, what she is saying is that you find the meaning that you're seeking in your life, not as an idea or an ideal, but listen to this, I love this, but as an implicit knowing folded into my very being. That is powerful, that it isn't this thing that, you know, existed first outside of you that, you know, you read in a book or you heard in a lecture and you grabbed onto. It's this thing that is this implicit knowing folded into your very being. That is amazing to think about. And what is that for you? How do we get to that space in us? Some of it is through, you know, the coherence work and being able to cultivate our heart intelligence in the ways that we talked about. And so an exercise that she presents in her book, The Call, is a meditation that allows you to kind of look at the areas in your life where you long to stop doing. You know, if you sat for a few minutes and you said, okay, let me just kind of survey my life, and I've got this stuff I do over here and this stuff I do over there. Oh, yeah, and I do that too and that too, and boy, do I wish I could stop doing some of it. What are those things that you want to release? I have many, many piles of things like that that I just, that, you know, are weighty on me, that end up sort of taking my energy rather than nourishing me. So where do you long to stop doing? Another question that I offer for your consideration and reflection is, where do you find yourself struggling with what is? Where do you find yourself struggling with what is? And where do you want to stop that struggle? So again, that idea of, where are you fighting reality? Okay? And if you can be with that resistance, like recognize, wow, I'm really resisting. I've said on a few prior shows that Oprah calls stress that state of resisting what is. You know, whenever you're resisting what is, you're creating stress in your body. So how can you be with that resistance in a way that you can just let it be? You know, and when you're not letting it be, you feel that tension that it creates in your body, the suffering that's in your mind and heart from it. You know, all of the emotions and sensations that come. So how can you look at those things and sort of let those things be? And the thing that she talks about, which is just like, I had an aha moment as I was reading through the materials, was this sort of contrast between the idea of letting something go and letting something be. And she talks about how in her life, and I think this might be true for a lot of us, when we think about letting go of something, it feels like, you know, that's action-oriented. You know, there's something we have to do. Well, we have to let it go. Right? And so that can be really hard. I don't want to let it go. What do you mean? I can't. I can't do it. I can't. I won't. Don't make me. That kind of energy, right? But when you think about this idea of letting something be, there isn't that same sort of act of the will or something that you have to do, right? You know, when you let something be, it's just kind of a not doing. It's not that action, letting go and having to release. It's just allowing something. So what she says is, quote, when I surrender, I stop doing something I am already doing. I stop resisting what is. I stop following thoughts and feelings and sensations into unconscious doing aimed at fulfilling the desire to make things different than the way they are. Here's what I've underlined. And in the space created by this stopping, if I am present, an experience of what I am and why I am here fills me. And in the space created by this stopping, if I am present, an experience of what I am and why I am here fills me. To me, that aligns so much with the concept of hearing your heart's desire. Incredibly powerful. Okay, and so then she says, all right, well, what happens when the situation is dire, right? When you're certain that you have to do something or serious consequences will result, right? You must intervene. How can you possibly let it be? You know, you have to get in there and somehow control it in some way. And that surely there's a time for that. But basically what she tells us is that no, it just doesn't work. When you sort of intervene from a place of fear, a lot of the choices that you make tend to be less than wise ones. And all of that doing requires so much effort, right? You're not in a space of letting things be. You're trying, you know, and so the amount of energy that's required to be doing that, like wrestling with all those situations, is really not sustainable. So that kind of stuff, to me, when I think back of, you know, what we talked about heart intelligence, and now this idea of sort of letting things be so that, you know, who you are can emerge from that, you know, your heart's desire, the call, that sounds, it's just so powerful to me. And she talks about this idea of finding the one word that sort of is who you are, or is how you're living, or how you're meant to be living, and then living that word. And I thought, well, what would that be for me? I was trying to say, well, what is my word? And I think that we can equate that idea of having one word and living that word be your heartbeat, you know, hearing your heart's desire. And I think for me, at least right now, the word that comes to me is service. And I wonder, what would be your word? So she says, the call is about finding the one thing you came here to say and saying it 1,000 different ways in your words, in your actions, your choices, so you and the world can really hear it. It's about finding the end of the one thread that glows luminescent for you and following it faithfully to the time and place here and now where you can weave it into the fabric of your life and so offer it to the world. And on that note, time for another break. Sean, take it away. I'll talk to you guys in a few.
Join us every second and fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Harvard holistic psychiatrist and psychoanalyst Dr. Judy Tsafrir offers empowering astrology and tarot readings that provide insight and guidance regarding love, work, and higher purpose. For more information, call 617-965-3020 or visit bostonastrologer.com or bostontarot.com. Readings are available via phone, Skype, and in person in Newton Center, Massachusetts. Living your values? Looking for companions on the path? With wisdom, humor, and compassion, artist Sarah Jepson Zitter answers many of the questions we have about living a spiritually grounded life. Check out her stunning graphic novels and designs on cards, mugs, and other cool gifts at gnomestedding.com. That's G-N-O-M-E, stedding.com. Or call Sarah at 978-897-6239 for more information.
If you're feeling the effects of chronic stress, chronic fatigue, or chronic illness in your life, it may be time to learn more about the key role that mind-body medicine can play in restoring and maintaining your health. Through individual or group sessions with Carolyn Romano of Bliss Healing Arts in Massachusetts, you can experience energy medicine, mind-body skill building, and self-care planning designed to enhance health and wellness. Mind-body medicine includes techniques such as Reiki, meditation, breathing practices, guided imagery, and mindfulness, which research increasingly shows support the body's natural ability to heal itself and restore balance. To get started, call Carolyn at 508-481-BLIS. That's 508-481-2547. Or visit blisshealingarts.com and get your bliss on.
Since 2004, Old Dog Haven in Washington State has been providing loving, safe homes for senior dogs ages 8 and up who've been abandoned or are homeless at this time in their lives. Wonderful foster families take these old dogs into their homes, making their golden years happy years. For more information or to make a tax-deductible contribution, visit olddoghaven.org. Old Dog Haven, providing hope, love, and comfort for senior dogs.
Since 2009, the Frank J. Romano Foundation has been working to honor the public service legacy of its namesake. The Foundation's goals include promoting health and wellness, encouraging education and lifelong learning, and promoting volunteerism and social responsibility. For more information or to make a tax-deductible contribution, visit fjrfoundation.org. The Frank J. Romano Foundation. Be well, do good, love life.
Donna Schatz is a licensed acupuncturist located in the Porter Square, Cambridge area of Somerville. With over 25 years of experience, Donna combines massage, acupuncture, and Reiki in her work while focusing on each client's individual needs. Contact Donna at 617-776-3065 or visit www.donnaschatz.com. That's 617-776-3065 or donnaschatz.com.
Maybe you have clear goals for your life but wish you were making more progress. Or perhaps you have no idea where you're headed, yet you still feel a sense of urgency to get there. Wherever you find yourself at this moment, consider how you will benefit from shamanic coaching with Carolyn Romano of Bliss Healing Arts in Massachusetts. This face-to-face approach works on achieving alignment on all four levels of your existence: mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical. Shamanic coaching combines traditional coaching methods with energy medicine, mind-body skill building, and shamanic techniques. The goal: to help people create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. Call Carolyn at 508-481-BLIS. That's 508-481-2547. Or visit blisshealingarts.com and get your bliss on.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at AM 1510 NBC Sports Radio Boston. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about drum medicine, hearing your heart's desire. And we have unpacked a lot of information about heart intelligence and the brain and the heart from the HeartMath Institute. In our first segment, in our second segment, we delved deeply into this idea of letting things be as an easier thing to do than, you know, letting things go. One is around non-doing and the other feels a little more action-oriented. And when you can sort of let things be, you're in a better space to be able to be very present and experience why you're here, right? Who you are and why you're here. The other thing that we talked about from Oriya Mountain Dreamer's work is this idea about finding what your one word is. There's the one word that embodies sort of your purpose, and then living that word. And I was drawing a parallel between that, you know, idea of having, you know, one word that you live from, and your heartbeat. That sort of hearing your heart's desire, you know, you're hearing who you are coming from that place deep within you. And what she says is that living your word does not cause suffering. Not living your word does. That's a great way to see, okay, is this the right word that I'm living from? And it would be answered by whether or not that's causing you any suffering. Okay, so in our final time here tonight, I wanted to talk to you about a few more ways to kind of recognize the voices of your heart. And this work comes from a book by Gail Harris called Your Heart Knows the Answer: How to Trust Yourself and Make the Choices That Are Right for You. And one of her chapters is devoted to this idea of recognizing the voices of your heart. And what Gail Harris says is that the voice of your heart has one job and one job only, and that is to remind you of your truth, allowing you to fulfill your divine potential in life. And I feel like even from the top of the hour, we talked about that idea of, you know, the way that you bring your gifts into the world, the way that you serve, is by figuring out what your truth is and living from that truth. Okay, and so, you know, there's that voice of your heart versus the voice of your head. We talked about that idea of sort of not getting stuck in the intellect, but allowing yourself to kind of drop deeper down into that brain and the heart and accessing all of that wonderful heart intelligence that we have. And when you can do that, you generally feel much more relaxed and calm. You may experience, she says, an openness or an expansiveness from within, that anything is possible. I love that idea. And it very much, she will sort of confirm what Araya Mountain Dreamer says too, that it requires that present moment awareness and trust, incredible trust. So I offer that up for your consideration, and then want to shift gears just for the last few minutes tonight to talk about relationship, because certainly our heart plays a big role here, right? And so Marianne Williamson has a wonderful book called The Age of Miracles, and one of her chapters is devoted to relationship and that sort of romantic call of midlife, she calls it, where you let go of any fear that kind of has accumulated over many years in order to be able to experience love that is standing in front of you. And, you know, we can kind of get caught up in fear around romantic issues because of sort of years and years of maybe negative experiences. Maybe we get caught up in a fear of abandonment or a fear of loss, or we've experienced many times that illusion of separateness. So how, in the face of that, can we open our heart to new experiences and hear our heart's desire? Because for a lot of us, if we're honest, a big part of our heart's desire is making that connection with another person. Despite what we may say, oh, I'm okay the way I am, or oh, I'm never going there again. But really and truly, when we get into that quiet space and present to it, we realize that that really is something that is important to us. Okay, so one of the things that Marianne Williamson advises to sort of get into this space of opening your heart is to cultivate compassion, and it reminds me of sort of the power tools that we talked about in the first segment around non-judgment and forgiveness and appreciation. And so to be able to feel a deeper compassion for someone else's wounds, and when you can do that, it helps you to heal your own wounds. She quotes Emerson as saying, whenever you meet anyone, remember they are going through a great war. And I think a lot of times, at least when we're trying to sort of be on a spiritual path, we can kind of stay there for a while, except when it comes to relationships, when we're sort of in these dating situations or, you know, we're wanting something and maybe there's not that same level of connection on the other side or vice versa, and we kind of, our vibration really lowers and we're not sure how to sort of navigate it. But if you can sort of remember that people are coming often from a place of their own woundedness and get into that space of compassion and operate from there and maybe do some of that freeze frame technique where you're breathing from your heart center and trying to get into a space of coherence. Because, by the way, if you are in that heart entrainment, that energy actually has been shown to affect the people around you. So in the scheme of relationships, I think that's pretty powerful that you can really impact what's going on around you. So Marianne also points out that the universe is invested in teaching us how to love. Quote, she says, we're brought into each other's lives on divine assignment, spirit working through the subconscious mind to draw us to people with whom we have the greatest opportunity for soul growth. These experiences can teach us to master the lesson of discernment. So not only the things that we should turn toward, but oftentimes to teach us what to turn away from. Okay, so, you know, a lot of times we think, oh, well, I'm drawn to this person because, yes, I get behind that idea of my soul needs to grow. But sometimes we get so caught up in that because our heart's desire for right relationship is so strong that we hang on to things when really we're being taught about discernment and being able to lovingly and kindly turn away from something that isn't for our highest and best. I love those ideas. That's something that I am dealing with in my own life, really trying to be open to right relationship moving through. And so one of the things that she will say is that you need alignment between your heart and your head in this, right? That heart intelligence and that and our brain. And a huge question that she says that she asks in so many of her workshops when people bring up this subject of relationship, you know, why don't I have, you know, my soulmate or however they put it, the question that she asks people is, what do you do to keep love at bay? What do you do to keep love at bay? And I think that is an incredibly powerful question for each of us to consider, whether we are in a relationship or not. Are there things that we do to keep love at bay? Because we think what it's doing is protecting us in some way, I gather. There's some interesting research. I think it's Brené Brown, and I'm talking off the top of my head here, where she did a study that said or validated that there are people who are afraid to fully experience joy, that they will deny themselves joy because they don't want to feel the loss of it on the other side of the experience. That's pretty powerful, and I think I am guilty of that sometimes, or need to be really aware of that tendency I have to kind of shy away from joyful experiences because I'm afraid of loss. But, you know, everything is lost to us eventually. And I don't mean that in, you know, a morbid or, you know, Debbie Downer kind of way, but truly, change is the order of nature. Things change all the time. You know, even people who commit to each other forever, or, you know, we commit to our friends or loved ones or pets. I mean, you know, at one point or another, one of us ends that relationship, not because we want to, but because we pass away or, you know, whatever. So if you're trying to deny yourself joy because of loss, you're just sort of allowing the loss to happen sooner. I hope that makes sense. And this stuff really does affect our health on a physical level. You know, when we're not looking at these issues or dealing with them or letting them move through us or letting them get stuck, we can really create dis-ease in our body sometimes. And I had a great example of this. I know we're kind of running out of time, so I'm going to hold that thought for our next show and thank you profusely for spending this hour with me. A few reminders. We have some mind-body skills groups coming up. If you're interested in attending one in the fall, I ask you to please be in touch with me. We're also still doing our shamanic journeying on the second Monday of the month at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I thank you for listening. I encourage you to really embrace your own heart intelligence. Allow yourself to breathe from that little nose on your heart that I talked about and really get into that space and allow the wisdom to emerge from you so you can identify that one word. Any questions or comments, please email me at carolyn@blisshealingarts.com. Our next show is on July 28th at 7 p.m. The topic is Talking Stick, Trusting Your Truth. Tonight's show will air Monday and Tuesday at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. at dreamvision7radio.com. Until next time, I wish you moments of grace descending. Take good care.
Thank you for tuning into Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Please join us every second and fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. when we unpack and examine the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Living on Purpose is about being deliberately aligned with the ways we're meant to serve and grow while staying open to experiencing life fully. It's about recognizing and becoming the fullest expressions of who we are. It's about envisioning the lives we're meant to be living and then joyfully living from that end. Yes, Boston and beyond. Until next time, get your bliss on. For more info, visit blisshealingarts.com.